Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
The Apostle John constantly emphasizes his purpose for writing. In his three epistles alone, he uses the word write 14 times. He wanted his readers to know why he was writing to them. I shall give you a few examples before we examine in depth one passage. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. 1 John 2, 1, 7 and 8. In 1 John 1, 1 through 3, John briefly summarized some of the fundamentals of the Christian faith. He affirmed that Jesus had existed from the beginning, that the apostles had heard, seen, looked upon, and handled the word of life. He also taught that these great truths form the basis of fellowship Christians can have with God the Father and with Jesus Christ the Son. John explains, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." 1 John 1, 4. How wonderfully blessed we are to have these great truths revealed to us as the basis of our hope. Without these teachings of the gospel, to use Paul's words, we would of all men be most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. Paul wrote at length about the message we have received from the Lord. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Ephesians 3, 1 through 5. Paul is simply teaching that God opened his mind, figuratively speaking, and made known unto us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the mystery he had concealed in his mind from eternity past. But now by revelation, he has made known to us what we must know and do to be saved from our sins and given the hope of eternal life. It needs to be stressed that what we have in the Bible is the very mind of God Almighty. The Scriptures can no more be wrong than God can be wrong, since they come from the mind of God. Paul affirmed concerning the writings of the Old Testament and the New, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or full grown, completely furnished unto all good works." 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. What Paul, John, Peter, Luke, Mark, and James wrote constitutes the inerrant Word of God. But the Word was not provided for us to decorate our bookshelves or our coffee tables. It was graciously given so we can learn what God wants us to know and to do in order that we may have His approval. Paul charged the Ephesian elders, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified." Acts 20:32. God wants us to study His word diligently for our own growth and to be prepared to teach others. Peter exhorted his readers, "But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 3:18. While knowledge is not the only requirement for growth, it is fundamental. That was Peter's reason for writing, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." 1 Peter 2:2. I urge you today to spend much time in the study of God's inspired word, and to be diligent in teaching it to others. Thank you, and may God bless you.